In just the past 5 days, people have been injured in shootings in Winton Hills, Evanston, Walnut Hills, and Avondale. What's the answer to reducing crime this summer, especially among young people? This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about what the city of Cincinnati is doing and whether summer jobs could be part of the answer are Northeastern University Professor of Public Policy and Urban Affairs, Alicia Modestino, Cincinnati Recreation Commission Director, Daniel Betts, and Save Our Youth Kings and Queens Founder and President, Mitch Morris. Thank you all for being here today.
Thank you much for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Mitch, just over the past 5 days, as I've mentioned, we've had 4 shootings in Cincinnati that have made the news. Somebody shot in the head at Winton Hills, a person shot in Evanston, 2 people shot in Eden Park and Walnut Hills, 3 people shot in Avondale. I know that you go to as many of these scenes of these shootings as you can to try to lower the temperature. What does it feel like this summer? Is this a more violent start to the summer?
Well, to be completely honest with you, you see these things on the news, and it is some shootings happening, but I feel real good about this year, about stopping the shooting. I must say that, Mr. Best, I just want to tell you, man, I'm this thing you're doing with that Saturday night thing and the city manager and wreck at night, that's going to save some lives. I don't know how else to say it, but that's really going to save some lives. So what I'm hoping for with that is that we had a community get more involved. The platform has been laid. So what I need is families and parents and people to come and be a relationship with these kids. I already got them in the room. Come and be mentors and talk to them and be a relationship with some of these kids. So listen, that's you could call it a slam dunk, a grand slam, you know, 2-point conversion, whatever. But you guys have did a wonderful, wonderful thing with this wreck at night. I really think that's going to save some lives this summer. And the same thing with other things that's happening. There's a lot of folks that's on board working together with Team Cincinnati that's real, real tired of the stuff that's happening. You got the police, or they're doing what they need to do, and the hospitals are doing. Everybody's tired. So I can see a lot of people doing more to try to pull this thing together.
Yeah. Daniel, tell us a little bit more about Wreck at Night. I know that's part of what the city and the Cincinnati Recreation Commission have been doing to try to expand youth programming in the summer so young people have things to do and places to be. Talk to us a little bit about Wreck at Night.
Yeah, so let me first of all acknowledge the platform. Thank you for having me. Let me also acknowledge Mitch, who has been in this work in this city for 17 or more years. I've been fortunate to be in this work for 10 in Cincinnati, but another 15 or so in Chicago. First and foremost, you know, a size of city that we have, unfortunately, we're going to see some level of criminality, and we're going to see, unfortunately, young people using guns and directing them toward each other. And certainly that is not something that, you know, whether it's 1 or 100 or 1,000, we don't want, right? What Wreck at Night does is that basically what we decided was going to at least be a tool in the toolbox was to, first of all, meet with the teens. So we had a series of meetings 3 years ago when we started this program at 2 sites, Lincoln and Hirsch Rec Center. We met with a group of teens, and we had them inform us what was missing on their Saturdays and evenings when young people get into the most trouble, right? They informed us some things they wanted us to do, we absolutely just couldn't do it. And the things that they wanted us to do that we could do, we did it. And so we extended from 2 sites here just this year. This is the first summer that we're doing 4 sites. So we added Winton Recreation Center and Evanston to the series. We kicked it off this past Saturday. Young people show up. Again, this is things that they wanted to do. So we have DJs. We have arts and cultural programming. We have STEM programming. Young people are able to jump into a room. We call it organized chaos to really just speak bluntly about it. And what happens is young people are able to go to these centers between the hours of 5 p.m. and 10 p.m. and they're rotating through rooms on their own will. Nobody's directing them. Nobody's lining them up. So it's ownership at its best in terms of giving them opportunity to do some things in a safe space with caring adults. I think, in short, what makes the difference when you're attempting to reduce the level of youth violence in the community is caring adults have to show up for these young people. And I think this program and what Mitch is doing and so many others in the city where we're actually dedicating time. I have over 200 volunteers that actually work with us on the Rec at Night series. And then we also pay vendors to come in so kids get haircuts. They get their nails done. The young ladies get their hair braided. So they're able to rotate to these various activities. We have a chill room because kids gave us feedback, youth gave us feedback last year that they didn't want to be rotated through all the rooms and it was just too much going on. So we created a chill room based on their advice where they're able to actually go to that room, check their phones, kind of kick back, have a snack, relax. And we've also added what we call the TikTok room. So the kids wanted to be able to take pictures and photos as that's, you know, that's part of what young people do. They experience things and they want to share them broadly.
Yeah.
So we have a room for that.
Well, Daniel, what about city pools and communities? Do you see those as violence interrupters also? I mean, talk about that.
Absolutely. I mean, every Rec at Night site, I mentioned the four, has a pool attached to it. That was on purpose. And so when we shut off somewhere around 6 to 7 o'clock in the evening for the public, that pool belongs to the teens. So we turn that pool over to the young people so that they rotate not only through what's happening inside the building, but they're also being connected to the pool as well. And they're able to swim, have some fun, hang out with their friends. So pools, you know, we have 23 of them across the city. And our pools are a way for young people to learn to swim. We have a huge deficit or a low number of black and brown kids in our community who don't know how to swim. Our pools are an opportunity for young people to learn how to swim. And we take very much serious pride in that because at the end of the day, we could prevent drownings as a way of educating and learn to swim classes for young people. But I also think we hire young people, too. Like, so the other piece of this is that we're not only programming the young people, but we're putting jobs in their hands, right? So we're hiring young people. They're making somewhere between $13 to $15 an hour, depending on the role that they play. We place them all across the city, so they're in nonprofit organizations. We want to double down next year with the business community. Want to shout out to the business community. We need your help. This is a village challenge to help keep our kids away from gun violence. All of us have to be in this. So we're going to be reaching out, and we have reached out to the chamber and working with them to bring businesses to the table to hire these young kids where if we hire and pay for one, then they pay for another one. So we do a match, and then we can grow that program just simply by being able to hire more kids. This summer, we're hiring 250 young people. Mm-hmm. That's 250 young people who will have gainful employment for at least 10 weeks in this summer.
Yeah. And we're going to talk more about jobs and the importance of those. But just real quick, Mitch, tell us about what your group is doing in Winton Woods this coming Saturday and what you've got planned for July 18th in Avondale, because you're spending direct time with young people.
Yes, well, we're going to have Win on Winesty, which we're doing with that is having everybody that's involved with this to try to touch somebody with a touch of kindness. So we're asking for different people to come in, bring your resources, come in and hold hands, make this peace chain and with kindness. And come and see the great things that's happening in Winton Terrace. You know, all the time you hear these horrible things that's happening, it's a lot of good and a lot of good people, and it's a lot of good kids out there doing a lot. So I want you to come in. We're going to put on display.
Yeah.
Come and see what's going on out there. That's why I'm asking for people, for wherever you're at, come and spend an afternoon with us, and we're going to grill out. You have a Presbyterian church up there. You have a direct center doing excellent. I seen him out there this morning doing excellent thing up there in Winton Hills Community Council. Everybody's coming together to try to, I call it Team Cincinnati, to try to show this thing out, what we're trying to do in Winton Terrace.
Yeah.
We're going to run the bad stuff off with good stuff.
All right. Well, Alicia, I want to come to you because your research has focused on summer employment for young people. You found that Boston's summer employment has helped reduce crime. Tell us a little bit about the program, how many young people it employs, how much it costs.
Sure. Yeah. So in Boston, we now actually have a Mayor's Youth Jobs Guarantee. So every Boston Public School student who wants a summer job gets one. And that's because we've been doing this research in partnership with the city for the last 10 years. And we've shown that the program reduces violent crime by 35%, reduces property crime by 29%. And all of that is linked back to the things that Mitch and Daniel were talking about, where young people, when they're in these jobs, they learn all sorts of soft skills. They learn how to work together in teams. They learn how to ask adults for help. They learn how to solve problems. And all of that carries over into this violence reduction. And what's really interesting is that this isn't just something we see in the summer. Mm-hmm. We see this over the next 1 to 4.5 years after participating in the program. And particularly for young people who are at risk of being involved in violence, so those who have previously been arrested or had other kinds of incidents, we see that 5 years out, there's a 50% reduction in violent crime. So this is something that really puts young people on a completely different path. And it's not just about crime either. So a lot of the intermediaries that I work with in Boston, you know, they mention the crime impacts up front to get everyone's attention. But really what they're doing is putting kids on a different path by giving them these meaningful employment opportunities. So we also find that there's a 5 percentage point increase in high school graduation. We find that young people are more likely to take the SAT and apply to college. They're more likely to go to a 4-year college than a 2-year college. And then for the young people who are older, 19 to 24, who are no longer in school, we find that being in the summer jobs program in Boston in the next year increases the likelihood that they will find another job during the year by 10 percentage points and also boosts the wages that they'll get in that next job by 30%. So it has a holistic kind of approach to really just giving people, young people, the opportunities that they need to be able to, you know, be engaged in these positive activities.
Wow. Well, we're talking about what's happening in Cincinnati to reduce crime among young people and whether summer jobs can be part of the solution. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or you can email talk@wvxu.org. We've got a lot more to talk about. We're going to continue our conversation after a short break. And later in the program, Ohio has a shortage of foster families. What you can do to help. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're back with our conversation about what's happening in Cincinnati to reduce crime, especially among young people, and whether summer jobs are part of the solution. My guests are Northeastern University Professor of Public Policy and Urban Affairs, Alicia Modestino, Cincinnati Recreation Commission Director, Daniel Betts, and Save Our Youth Kings and Queens Founder and President, Mitch Morris. You can join the conversation. Call 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Alicia, you were talking about these reductions in crime that you've seen in this research you've done in Boston. It sounds like this is about more than just keeping all those young people busy. What do you attribute those crime reductions to?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So we actually do a pre and post survey in Boston to find out what kids are learning during the summer that's giving us this impressive reduction in criminal justice activity. And what we're finding is that it's linked to three things. One is, first, they're learning, again, how to interact with one another, work in teams, be able to resolve conflicts with a peer, ask adults for help. That social emotional learning, you just can't learn in a classroom without practicing it somewhere. So they get to practice it at work. The second thing that the program does is that instills really good work habits. So one of the first things I ask kids whenever we're doing focus groups with them is, what did you learn this summer? And they almost always say, if you're going to be 5 minutes late, you may as well not show up at all. They learn to show up on time and show up every day. And that results in an increase in their attendance in the following school year, which then results in failing fewer classes, which then means if you show up and don't fail classes, you're going to graduate from high school. It's as simple as that. And then the third thing is, this program gives young people a mentor. So those trusting adults, those adults who are really giving these young people, you know, their guidance that Mitch and Daniel are talking about, they get that from their summer job supervisor. And in particular, for summer youth employment programs, cities are often, you know, providing support to employers so that they make sure that they have a supervisor who understands how to work with young people, that it's a developmental program. And that really makes all the difference in terms of putting them on a path to success. And I'll just say, you know, in Boston, we've run the numbers. And if you look at the reduction in crime, the increase in high school graduation, and then the additional dollars that young people are earning and then paying taxes on, frankly, the Summer Youth Employment Program has a return on investment of $2 for every $1 spent. So the city is saving on the ratio of 2-1. So it's just a no-brainer to do this for young people.
Daniel, you are nodding your head very vigorously while Alicia is talking. Does that figure into what you do at the Cincinnati Recreation Commission, not only with this employment program you have, but also with your lifeguards? I mean, do you see that with the kinds of hiring that you do with your lifeguards and the other programs that you all oversee when it comes to youth employment?
Yeah, so what Alicia said is absolutely in real time what we see on the ground every day as practitioners in this space of working with young people through parks and recreation. So one of the things I would just want to reiterate is the social enhancement. She talked about that. That's extremely important because kids need to know how to interact with one another and others who are different than them, right? And then the other piece is mentoring. I always say caring adults. I mean, we need caring adults to step up to work with these young people in these places, whether you're working at, whether it be a pool, be a center. So those are two key things that I think Alicia is definitely correct about. In terms of your question related to just, you know, does what we do impact the young people beyond giving them a job? I think that's the essence of that question. And the answer is yes, absolutely. Because again, one of the things we do, much like what I hear Alicia saying Boston does, we use data to actually build this program. So in other words, in Cincinnati, we have 9 neighborhoods that has a uptick in youth violence over the last 3 years. Our intentional Rec at Night placements were in 4 of those neighborhoods. We doubled down on the hiring through our funding through the federal government, through CDBG dollars. We hire young people in those neighborhoods, and that's the primary focus for me. So 80% of the young people who are being hired for these jobs, that 250 that I mentioned earlier, are coming from low-income and impoverished neighborhoods. And that's extremely important to us because, one, the feds mandate it. Two, more important than the mandate is that we know that, you know, there's been an enormous amount of disinvestment in some of our neighborhoods. And so those 9 neighborhoods where we see an uptick of violence typically is where we're seeing food deserts, typically where we're seeing poverty. It's typically where we're seeing other issues of criminality. So, again, our focus has been to use the data to place us in places where we will make a difference.
Yeah. We had an email from Stephen Oakley. He writes, the funding of summer youth programs is referenced often in council chambers and in the media, as well as describing their effectiveness. One thing that never seems to be mentioned is what exactly these jobs are and descriptions of them, as well as the pay rate. Daniel, I want to focus a little bit on lifeguarding, because those young people, they're not only learning all those skills, they're helping to mediate conflict sometimes. When you're in that chair, you got to be able to do that and learn that. What are the kinds of pay levels that young people get in those jobs and those lifeguarding jobs and the other jobs that you all help?
Yeah,
them
so
get.
Far as lifeguarding, I want to shout out to our city council and to mayor and to our city manager, Cheryl Long, because they actually helped in this regard by increasing the salary 3 years ago, where we increased the salary of lifeguards across the board. Now, historically, Cincinnati and CRC has had a challenge with getting guards. We used to be, you know, when I've been here 10 years, 5 of those years were challenges getting guards. Well, when we increased the pay from $12 and $11 an hour to now ranging between $15 to $18 an hour, we saw an influx of not just young people, but adults and retired seniors who have retired but know how to swim and want to come back and work on the deck. And so we're grateful for that, you know, that one single change helped improve our ability to get more guards. And then we did something to also address the shortage. We created a lifeguard academy. So we're training, we're paying young people between the ages of 13 and 14 how to swim. And if they want, once they learn how to swim, we have them take the guard test and we're placing them on the deck when they turn 15 and 16. So we got a pipeline now. And this summer, like last summer, all 23 pools will be open.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Mitch, we were talking about the importance of mentorship and really connecting with these young people. We talked about the event you've got coming up this weekend in Winton Hills. Talk about what's happening in Avondale on July 18th.
July 18th, we had a Ride for Peace where we had like a bunch of bikers from Bike Life, Brandon Ward's club. They come in and we ride throughout the city and spread the message, let everybody hear that these people are against gun violence. We need for it to stop. JC Battle Funeral Home being involved. So law enforcement is there. And we just try to show that we love and care about you. The biggest thing, like I said, man, and thank you so much, man, about what you guys are doing at the rec in the city. The thing is, just refuse to do nothing. You know what I mean? You have to do something. Just sit back and be Monday morning quarterbacks. Just get out. That just does my heart well. I can see some big things happen, man, coming from that whole Team Cincinnati thing. So thank you very much with that. That's, you know, I'm on the front lines every day. And what I see you guys doing here in the city now, like I said, I really think that this is going to be something really nice that's going to happen to save some of our babies, because that's the biggest thing, is to save these youths and save these babies from the senseless gun violence.
Alicia, we are running out of time, but I want to get from you, what are the keys to success with these summer youth employment programs, whether it's lifeguarding or these other kinds of jobs young people can get? What does it really take to make them successful?
Well, it really takes an ecosystem from what I've seen. So in the city of Boston, it's really not just the city that's running the Summer Youth Employment Program. It's actually a collection of intermediaries, including our Workforce Investment Board, the Private Industry Council. That brings in 3,000 private sector jobs where the jobs are fully paid by the employers. It's also our large nonprofits like Action for Boston Community Development, Artists for Humanities, who are acting as lead entities for other smaller nonprofits. So the way Boston gets to hire 12,000 young people is because we're placing them in the private sector, in the nonprofit sector, in the cities, and now also across our higher ed institutions. So Northeastern University brings 150 youth on campus every summer to work on our campus and also be prepared for their senior year and applying to college. So it takes a village. I think that's what either Mitch or Daniel said it. And really our mayor and every mayor before her has been very adamant about making sure that they rally the village every time. Mm-hmm. And just one last plug for, you know, really targeting these programs. If you look at the jobs report that came out last week, you look at the unemployment rate for 16 to 19 year olds, it's 14.7%.
Oh, my goodness.
But for Hispanic young people, it's 17.1%. And for Black young people, it's 23.9%.
Oh, goodness. Well, we will have to leave it there. I've been talking with Northeastern University's Alicia Modestino, Cincinnati Recreation Commission Director Daniel Betts, and Save Our Youth Kings and Queens founder and president Mitch Morris. Thank you all so much for your time today. Up next, we hear from parents who opened their homes to foster children and how it changed their lives. This is Cincinnati Edition.